You know, Pete Seeger said on occasion, he said something the social justice movement would do well to never forget. He said, there ought to be more singing. Welcome to Conscious Voices, a weekly program dedicated to bringing alternative points of view into challenging popular assumptions in order to help you be better informed and civically engaged. I'm Evan Davis, your host for this edition. The singing you heard happened over the weekend in our nation's capital, where the Poor People's Campaign organizer Reverend William Barber and Reverend Jesse Jackson and others were arrested at a demonstration to pressure Senators Joe Manchin and Kyrsten Sinema and others to get rid of the filibuster rule that requires a 60-vote majority to pass any legislation. Once again, Republicans have vowed to obstruct anything the Biden administration proposes, just like they did with Obama. Arizona Senator Kyrsten Sinema says she favors keeping the filibuster because it serves as a bulwark against either party running roughshod over the other and passing radical reforms that nearly half the legislatures object to. The alternative, however, is that it's what we have now, Sinema also referred to as the tyranny of the minority, whereby the party that has less than 50% of the seats but over 40% can essentially veto or block anything from issuing an award to sweeping climate change measures, etc., improving health care, or in this case, the For the People Act to restore voting rights and to stop the Republicans' efforts to undermine them. But to borrow one of Biden's signature phrases, here's the deal. The filibuster will be done away with, and it's just a question of who will do it and when. Democrats don't get rid of it now. That is, if Democrats don't get rid of it now, Republicans will get rid of it as soon as they manage to regain a majority, if they get that chance. Sinema wonders aloud if Republicans would use the absence of the filibuster to undo any gains made thus far by Biden and Obama. Well, yeah, sure they would. But my point, and I wish Sinema would see this, is that they'll do that anyway. If Democrats get rid of the filibuster now, they can pass epic, sweeping reforms, landmark, historic legislation on the level of the Social Security Act and the National Parks Act, the Civil Rights Act, and real, actual, meaningful environmental protections. Heck, the For the People Act on voting rights goes way beyond the original Voting Rights Act itself. There is, at this shining critical moment, the political will to bring about long overdue changes that will fundamentally alter the course of American and world history in a way that could usher in a new era of justice, equality, prosperity, and a healthier, more robust, and inclusive democracy. Talk about lifting all boats. We have a chance to fling them all right out of the water. That's a metaphor, of course, and I mean that in a good way. But if Democrats don't seize this moment, then Republicans will surely have theirs. They'll be able to capitalize on popular disappointment and return themselves to power. Sinema spoke about a legislative seesaw, with laws being enacted and then overturned with each successive opposing administration. Well, it doesn't have to be that way, if only Democrats like her would get on the freedom train that's barreling down the tracks. Alternatively, Biden et al. Can stumble along for 2 years and get a few good things done through the periodic budget reconciliation process, while Republicans block everything else. And then in 2022, we may be able to win a few more Senate seats and have a majority without Manchin and Sinema. But it would be so much easier if we could just get them on board. And the longer we wait, the longer things remain relatively unchanged. And the status quo, as we know, is deadly for some. So, rather than get into all the particulars, I figured we just needed a kind of a pep talk today, and who better to do that than one of the great political orators of American people's struggle since Frederick Douglass or Martin Luther King? Here's the Reverend William Barber.
Be silent anymore. Won't be silent. And we won't be silent. but our chains. Say it, everybody. We got nothing to lose but our chains. Listen, if you've got signs, we want you to come on, to come up, just not in front of the cameras, close as you can, want the cameras to pan around. We've got more people, hundreds that are coming. They just got in. We're going to start in 60 seconds. We need everybody to say forward together. Not one step back. What do we want? When do we want it?
Now.
How about voting rights? What do we want?
Voting rights.
When do we want it?
Now.
What do we want?
Voting rights.
When do we want it?
Now.
Stop the filibuster. Pass the bill.
Pass the bill.
Stop the filibuster.
Stop the bill.
Pass the bill.
Pass the bill.
All right, we're going just a few more seconds. We're trying to wait for those folk that are coming in from Kentucky and Arkansas. Some are already here, right?
Yeah.
All right. Where's West Virginia? They're coming in.
Yeah.
All right, West Virginia. Come on, West Virginia.
We love you, Barbara.
Love you.
Love you.
Where's Kentucky? Any Kentucky?
Yeah.
All right. And today we all from West Virginia, Kentucky.
Yeah.
Where are the justice fighters? Stand up. Just raise your hand.
Yeah.
All right. People are going to be, we live streaming. Thousands and thousands of people are online.
You know, we were out there talking about justice, so we're glad to be here today. Let us come together and join ourselves just in a moment of reflection and in prayer. Let us pray. Most gracious God, you are a God of justice.
Yes.
You are a God who is not isolated from your people. You are a God who is close to us. And bless us with your Holy Spirit.
Yes.
Bless us, O God, with that breath of fresh air.
Yes.
Breath us, O God, bless us, O God, that we might be a blessing to others. That those who are hungry, that they might be fed.
Yes.
That those who need their voting rights, that they might indeed have those granted. Bless this time together in the name of your Son. Amen.
Amen.
Thank you. As we gather here today, everybody, we're going to be marching on the Russell and the Hart building. It's important for me to note that people are coming, and after I lay out the purpose today, young man, after I lay out the purpose today, we're then going to have some speakers from West Virginia, Kentucky, and then we're going to have some of our key brothers and sisters who've been in the movement, beginning with the Reverend, and I say Senior Elder, Jesse Lewis Jackson,
yeah.
And others that I will call Council of President, General Secretary of the National Council of Churches, and others, because we are clear. And maybe it's right to start as people are still marching here, because one of the things we're trying to say today is time to start marching for the soul of this democracy. And we are saying to others there needs to be a wave after wave after wave.
That's right.
In the state, on these senators' offices, and in the Capitol.
Yes.
And another couple of weeks, the Poor People's Campaign, National Call for Moral Revival, are going to ask our 40 coordinating committees across the nation to have a national Moral Monday on these Senate offices. We had planned to take off after we had our national Poor People's Low Wage Workers Assembly Moral March on Washington virtually, launching a plan to have a national Poor People's Assembly Moral March on Washington on June of 2022. But there comes a time, Sister Arwine, there comes a time, Reverend Jackson, there comes a time, President Winkler,
yes,
that you can't wait to save something.
Amen.
You got to save it while saving is possible.
Yes.
And so today we are here, turn this mic up some, we are here with people from the hood to the holler.
in Kentucky and West Virginia. And we're here with friends from other places to demand of every U.S. senator and to ask them to answer one simple question. Which side are you on? This is no time for straddling the fence. Yesterday's party line vote to kill debate on the For the People Act certified what we already knew. McConnell's obstructionist caucus as politically mean, extreme, regressive, and anti the Constitution, anti the very Constitution they swore to uphold. Officially, somebody said that they proved that they were the party against voting rights, but we've already known that. We didn't need a procedural vote to prove that to us, and neither did America. They are trapped in the lies of McConnell's meanness and are held captive by money and the forces of greed that have been reshaping them since the Southern strategy of Richard Nixon. But let me be clear as why we're here and why you see black and white and brown and indigenous and Asian and young and old and gay in the street. This is not simply Jim Crow. This is James Crow Esquire. It's not just targeting black people, but it's targeting poor and low-wage black, white, brown, indigenous, Asian, young people, and the disabled. And the question is, which side are you on? Their refusal, this refusal to even debate voting rights protections has exposed every citizen Republican as a liar. That they lied when they put their hands on that Constitution. They stood before God and their constituents and swore to uphold the Constitution. But they have embraced the states' rights argument against federal voting rights protections that, if followed to its furthest conclusion, would inevitably invalidate the very vision and promise of the 15th, 19th, 24th, 26th, and 14th Amendment. Which side are you on? And today we come here not as Democrats first or Republicans, but we come here to speak the moral truth, because sometimes you just need a few people that don't play the political games. They just tell it like it is. And so we're not just here to talk to McConnell. We asked them for meetings to meet with their constituents. We've been asking. They refuse. We haven't heard anything from them. So we are also here to say to Manchin and any so-called Democrat who claims to support the non-constitutional filibuster over the constitutional guarantee that no state can deny or abridge the right to vote. When you do this and you support the non-constitutional filibuster over a constitutional guarantee, you are assisting the Republicans in their extremism. And you are engaging in a form of political manipulation and gamesmanship that have gone on long enough. And to then lie and say you're doing it because of the people in your state. West Virginians called us and said we need to march in West Virginia and in D.C. because 79% of West Virginians, Republicans and Democrats and independent, have long said stop the filibuster, pass the bill, and pass the Voting Rights Act. This battle is for the fundamental promise and principle of voting, and it should always be non-negotiable. In fact, the truth of the matter is, think about it, what's in the For the People's Act. The For the People's Act would restore voting rights to millions of formerly incarcerated people and mandate safeguards for voters who lack identification and prohibit discriminatory purges and affirm the necessity of restoring the Voting Rights Act and prohibit and further penalize voter intimidation, deception, and online vote suppression. Who wants to compromise that away? This bill would expand voting opportunities and modernize our voting registration system with automatic same-day and online voter registration, giving all voters the option to vote early in person or by mail, limiting time in line at polling places, and provide additional protection to voters with disabilities. Who would want to compromise away from that? This bill would outlaw extreme partisan gerrymandering and establish critical guidelines for the drawing of congressional districts in a manner that promotes fair representations and protects people of color and communities that are often underrepresented. It would bring the redistricting process to the public view. It would end the practice of prison-based gerrymandering, which undercuts the representation of communities of color and poor communities. Who would want to compromise away from that? The For the People Act would blunt the political effects of wealth inequality, most notable by establishing a voluntary small-dollar matching system for federal congressional races, and it would blunt the power of dark money and curb these super PACs. Who would want to block this or compromise this away unless you were more committed to the United States Chamber of Commerce than the United States Constitution? Who would want to stop this or compromise away from it unless you were more committed to systemic racism and classism than justice and democracy? This battle is not about moderate versus conservative. It's not about left versus right. It's about right versus wrong.
That's right.
Not one of those senators put your hand on the Bible and swore to moderately support the Constitution. You did not swear to conservatively support the Constitution. You did not swear to moderately establish justice or to moderately promote the general welfare or to conservatively ensure against the denial and the abridgment of voting rights. No. And in the Bible, if you held the Bible while you swore, the Bible does not say be moderate for justice, be moderate and lukewarm. It says in Isaiah 10, woe unto those who legislate evil and rob the poor of their rights and make women and children their prey. There is nothing moderate about using a non-constitutional filibuster to block protecting and expanding the constitutional right to vote. No. If you try to block this or compromise this, it is morally indefensible, constitutionally inconsistent, economically insane, politically irresponsible, and historically inaccurate. Not one Democrat ran last year and said, if you elect me, I'm going to join the Republicans in their interposition and nullification. Don't run and say one thing and then get in office and do another. The possibility of compromise has to be based on a shared promise. You come to the table with people who believe there's a problem that needs to be addressed. But the Republicans have demonstrated they don't believe there's a problem. You hear them coming, don't you? You hear them coming. That's how it's going to be all this summer. You hear them, don't you? They don't even believe that we have a problem. So how can you compromise with people who don't believe they have a problem? They have capitulated to the lies of a president who lost. And they have capitulated to a past rooted in the legacy of the Strom Thurmond and the Southern Strategy. They have sided with the corporately funded think tanks. 6 months after the Capitol was stormed by insurrectionists who wanted to overturn the results of the election, they have decided and declared that they are on the side of political insurrection, and they are attempting to do it in our face, and it's gone on long enough, and it needs to stop now. So we've come to ask a simple question. Which side are you on? I was talking to my friend as I closed, who used to work for Strom Thurmond. He was raised in the hills of Appalachia, and now he is a powerful brother for justice, Jonathan Hargrove. And he said to me this morning, trying to compromise with Republicans now would be thinking that you could convince the crowd that wanted to hang Mike Pence to just settle for tar and feathers. We've come here today to say there are some things that are non-negotiable. Am I right about it? You've got to decide which side are you on. When we read Manchin's compromise proposal last week, it didn't say anything about federal reenchantment of formerly incarcerated people. It didn't say anything about modernizing. It talked about a voter ID. Why would we nationalize voter ID while civil rights lawyers are in court fighting to undertake to stop voter ID? You can't say you honor the legacy of John Lewis, who wrote the For the People Act. Let's be clear. John Lewis wrote the For the People Act. That's his bill. So how can you say you honor him and he wrote it with his blood and his life, and then you try to undermine the very bill he wrote? And so as they come, we are here today because we understand that the fight for voting rights cannot be separated from the fight for health care and living wages and infrastructure that reaches to poor and low-wealth communities. It's all one fight. The same people that suppress the vote, they'll suppress your living wages. They suppress health care. They suppress public education. They are the same people that would rather put dark money into the voting process rather than let us see what they're doing in the light. And it's time to rise to meet the moral crisis of our time, forego the filibuster, and pass the For the People Act and pass the Voting Rights Act. It's time for a 50 vote with the vice president breaking the filibuster. It's time to debate and pass the For the People Act. And look, while they're doing it, go ahead on with 50 plus one and pass $15 an hour living wage. Go ahead and pass infrastructure reform. Go ahead and pass health care. Go ahead and pass more access to unions. In fact, go ahead and pass what's best for the democracy, and we'll battle it out at the ballot box next year. Now, there's still time for McConnell to repent. I have to say that as a preacher. But Manchin, don't you let sin block the salvation of this democracy and its soul. And so, brothers and sisters, as Robin comes now, we must bring moral direct action. We must make sure we're clear and heard. All over this country, America, you should be marching on these Senate offices. You should be bringing buses to D.C. COVID safe. We don't need an insurrection. We just need a moral, nonviolent mobilization and direct action. Back in Appalachia, Mother Jones used to say, we've got to pray for the dead and fight like hell for the living. It's time to fight like nonviolent. It's time to fight like truth. It's time to fight like love. It's time to fight like justice. And we need to fight until hell freezes over and then fight on the ice. It's time for moral direct action. We don't need compromise and capitulation. Pass the bill. Break the filibuster. Pass voting rights. Pass living wages. Pass health care. Do what's right for the American people, and do it for poor and low wealth people, and do it now.
I'm Reverend Dr. Robin Tanner. I'm a Unitarian Universalist minister, and today, like all of you, I am a person of conscience who knows what is right and what is wrong. Say with me, break the filibuster. Break the filibuster. Break the filibuster.
Break the filibuster.
Break the filibuster.
Break the filibuster.
Do what is right.
Do what is right.
Do what is right.
Do what is right.
Now.
Now.
It is my honor to introduce two warriors in this struggle, two people who certainly know what is right and what is good, what is moral. From the West Virginia Poor People's Campaign, Pamela Garrison now and Jean Evansmore will give us testimony to the impact that Senator Manchin is having on the people who sent him into the power that he is in now.
Let me have the sanitizer. Sanitizer. Let me have the sanitizer, please. Give it up for them. They said they wanted to speak. They were tired of somebody saying what they wanted. Pam, say it just like you feel it.
All right.
as the Lord gives you utterance.
Hello, everyone. I'm Pam Garrison, Tri-Chair of West Virginia Poor People's Campaign. I stand here representing 140 million poor and low-income people in this nation. I represent 770,000 in my state poor and low-income workers. Our governor, our senator has gotten up here saying that he's doing what we want. Well, I'm here to say he's not doing what we want. We are one of the poorest nations in the world. I mean, in the country. When they took the $15 minimum wage out of the rescue package, they took half of the rescue out. We are the ones that, we are the rescue. You give us the income, we will put it in this economy. We will be, we are the people. This is our country. And how come the only time a filibuster or compromise is ever mentioned is when it's something for the people? Yeah. When it is something to help the people or uplift the people, oh, we got them compromised. Oh, there's a filibuster. Well, I never heard of compromise or filibuster when the rich was getting their tax breaks. I ain't heard no filibuster since. They won't. They ain't gonna give that up. Uh-uh. They're gonna fight us. We are lied to. We are manipulated. And we're not stupid people. I am up here because I got grandchildren. And I'm saving my democracy from authoritarianism. We watched it. We watched it unfold. And we are standing strong and saying, you can't have our democracy. We are the people. This is our country. You represent us. We don't serve you. You serve us. We're marching, and this won't be the last one. You will hear us. Because they keep trying to put their hands over their ears and la, la, la. They don't want to hear us. Well, I got news for them. We're not going away. We're going to get more. We are going to mobilize. We are going to organize. We are going to educate. And our next generations, if they have to, will fight you for us.
Yeah. Yeah.
We are the people. Thank you, America. Thank you.
Yeah. Yes, ma'am. Come on, Jen. Say, we are.
We are.
The people.
The people.
And we will.
And we will.
Fight.
Fight.
For the soul.
For the soul.
Of this democracy.
Of this democracy. Yes, we will. I'm Jean Evans Moore from West Virginia, born and raised there, and I turned 80 last year. I am just now getting ready to fight, okay? I am disgusted and disappointed to have to admit that Senator Manchin is too far gone to hear us. We've been to his West Virginia office at least 3 times, and he hasn't been around. Now today we're in D.C. I wouldn't be at all surprised to find out that he is actually in West Virginia. Hiding from us. But we are not going to quit. We're not going to give up. His lies are unbelievable. His words have come out to mean all kinds of things that loads of people cannot understand. I think he is under the influence of somebody's back pocket. And it's not his.
Sure,
I think he is under the influence of somebody's back pocket. I don't particularly like that. You see, my granddaddy raised me to believe I was going to go to hell if I told a lie. Okay? Now, I think Manchin better tell the truth. Because he doesn't have to answer to me. He has to answer to somebody and something else. We have to do something about this. And folks, thank you. Your presence means a lot more, and it gets a lot more attention than your phone calls and your letters and your emails, which can be ignored. I know they are ignored. Thank you for being here. Thank you. What Manchin is doing and has not done is representing people of the United States of America. See, this is bigger than West Virginia.
That's right.
It's bigger than Kentucky. Yeah. It's all of us.
That's right.
It's all of us, and it's our democracy, which pisses me off to no end.
Yeah.
He has totally gone off the deep end. He has effed up, okay? He has effed up, and y'all young people know how you use that word nowadays. So that's what it means. And we are not going to stop. We're not going to stop. West Virginia, are you here?
Yeah.
Are we going to go after him?
Yeah.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Say, we are not going to stop. Hold those signs up high. And they're still coming. There's some more people coming, a couple of hundred folk that are still coming. Say,
our democracy
is not for sale,
it's not for sale,
for compromise,
or negotiation.
You will not
take the voting rights
of poor and low-wealth people.
This is not just
a black issue.
All of us,
white,
black,
brown,
Asian,
Indian,
young,
old,
gay,
and straight. Mr. Manchin,
Mr. McConnell,
you cannot
block
our voting rights,
our living wages,
our health care.
We are
an unstoppable
force,
and we are
here
to stay,
and we aren't
going
anywhere.
Calling up now Pastor Friesen, who's here with us from West Virginia, has made the journey to be with us to tell us a message of what is right.
Good afternoon, everybody. I'm here to bear witness for the fact that Joe Manchin does not speak for West Virginia. I am actually tired of the newscast that talks about Manchin is speaking for West Virginia. 70% of the people in West Virginia are for the People Act. 70 people. And so I think the challenge is that we need to ask Senator Manchin, where was all this bipartisanship when Trump was the president? We didn't hear a word from him when Trump was the president. And suddenly he is the lion of bipartisanship. What I'd like to suggest to you, he is doing nothing but killing the agenda of President Biden. Let me tell you how. First of all, he keeps saying that in order for him to vote, that Republicans have to vote. So we keep weakening the bills. We weaken the infrastructure bill.
That's right.
We weaken the January 6th commission. We weakened over and over again. But then when the votes came up, not one Republican voted for it. There's something wrong with that. Can you say amen? So I'm here to tell you that Manchin does not speak for West Virginia. We have a long and rich history of fighting for civil rights. You know, West Virginia became a state because we did not succeed from the Union. Somebody ought to say, man. In the early days, in the late 19th century, it was West Virginia that produced Booker T. Washington. It was West Virginia that produced Carter G. Woodson. And unfortunately, it's West Virginia that's now producing Manchin, but we're going to do something about that. Can you say, man? So I'm standing before you today to think and to say to you, I believe that our senior citizen from West Virginia needs to undergo a psychiatric evaluation. Because, you know, I am told that if you keep doing the same thing and expect a different result, you're crazy. So Manchin keeps doing the same thing, and it keeps getting the same result. So West Virginia, we are here to stand up. We're here to say that not only Manchin, but we have another senator, Shelley Moore Capito, that we need to say her name as well. You need to understand that West Virginia, from this very inception, our motto is West Virginians are always free. Say that with me. West Virginians are always free. And since West Virginians are always free, we want everyone else to be free.
So the greatest thing that you can do, what is sacrosanct, is the ability to vote. So I'm here to tell Senator Manchin that he's wrong, that West Virginia backs the infrastructure bill. Do you know West Virginia is one of the poorest states in the nation? And yet it was Senator Manchin that stopped us from getting a $15 an hour minimum wage. There's something wrong with that. I think he needs to undergo a psychiatric evaluation. I'm suggesting to you that West Virginia is bigger than Manchin. But I believe that Manchin thought he would be able to do all this and wouldn't get any pushback at home. Well, I'm here to tell you, we've been pushing back at home. Reverend Barber was in Charleston, and we pushed back at home. And it wasn't until that we started pushing back, I believe, that he finally decided to read the bill. I don't even think he read the bill, Reverend Barber. But once he read the bill, now he is making suggestions. But as soon as he makes suggestions, McConnell and the Republicans are saying to him, they will not back it. There's a problem with that. And so I'm here from Charleston, West Virginia, the New First Baptist Church of Kanawha City. And I'm here to represent that West Virginia is with the Poor People's Campaign. West Virginia has a vested interest, and West Virginia will stand behind Reverend Barber all the way. Can you say amen?
Amen.
Somebody say all the way.
All the way.
All the way.
All the way.
And don't forget, Mountaineers are always free.
And brothers and sisters, every time we have a Poor People's Time, we teach. Why didn't we come out saying, oh, this is a good compromise? Because the bill doesn't need to be compromised. John Lewis had written everything in it. Secondly, why would you put in photo ID? Why would you block the thing, take things out that are essential, nothing modernization? And so somebody has to say, we don't need to play the game. And they need to stop telling us the only way to get the bill is to compromise. It was put in the rules, the 50 plus one. That's why it's put there, so that folk cannot just run a tyranny and shut the whole country down. If there was ever a time to use the 50 votes and then let the vice president be the deciding vote, it should have been done with the living wage. But we ought to now do it now, right?
Yeah. Is Kentucky in the house?
Yeah.
We're going to hear now from Arnold Farr from the Kentucky Poor People's Campaign and Attica Scott of the For Justice Action Network, in that order, from Kentucky. Come on up.
Yeah. Kentucky in the house.
Yeah.
First of all, thank you all for being here. And let me say something. We have in America what Brother Cornel West calls a democratic experiment. And we're at a moment in our history where that experiment is about to fail. But we are here to stand for that democratic experiment, to stand for democracy, and move forward with what has been promised to the American people. Now, here's some things I want you to think about. Look at the situation we're in right now. What does it mean for our country? What does it mean for democracy when you have senators and congressmen who do not have a positive program or agenda for the American people? Instead, their agenda is to block positive agendas for the American people. We have in office right now a senator who calls himself the Grim Reaper. And he calls himself the Grim Reaper because he knows that his desk is where a policy that is for the people goes to die. And he lives and functions as the Grim Reaper in our Senate, and he's proud of that. In the meantime, as he blocks every policy that is for the people, he has nothing to offer. I ask you, America, and I ask my state of Kentucky, in the words of the great Janet Jackson, what has Mitch done for you lately? Absolutely nothing. 37% of the state of Kentucky is in poverty or low income. Now let me say to those of you who are in that 37%, when is the last time Mitch came down to Kentucky to have a talk with you? Those of you who are struggling with health care, when has Mitch come down to have a talk with you?
Never.
We're in a desperate situation, America. And I hope that those of you who are watching, join us, the Poor People's Campaign, a national call for moral revival in saving this precious democratic experiment. Thank you.
All right, Attica.
I'm Attica Scott with Forward Justice Action Network. And we are strong supporters of the Poor People's Campaign. I'm also a proud Kentuckian. And let me tell you something about Kentucky. The two senators who are here representing Kentucky are not Kentucky. We are Kentucky. In Kentucky, we know what it's like for our people to go months without their unemployment insurance benefits. Expand unemployment insurance. In Kentucky, we know what it's like to live paycheck to paycheck or no check to no check, so raise the minimum wage. Show me what democracy looks like.
This is what democracy looks like.
Show me what democracy looks like.
This is what democracy looks like.
Show me what democracy looks like.
This is what democracy looks like.
Go get your democracy.
Okay.
Go get it. Go get it.
Wait a minute, before y'all leave, I want the Kentuckians to come up here, some of them, because I want America to see how diverse they are. Where are the Kentuckians? See, we're not playing this game anymore. You'll put the black folk over here and the white people over there. No. We all going to fight. Give it up for Kentucky! All right. And you all are going to be leading us in the march in a few minutes. Step back now. All right. Great. West Virginia, where's your hand? Raise your hand. West Virginia, they're still coming. Let me know when those other folk from the bus get here. All right, at this time, we've got some... Pittsburgh's in the house. New York, where's New York? Where's Maryland? All right, in fact, call your state. D.C., Delaware, Pittsburgh. At this time, we've got some of our leaders who are coming... Ohio, that's right. Where's Ohio? Great. All right. We're going to ask in this order. They're coming for 2 minutes or 2.5 minutes before we march. First, our elder, we're going to have Reverend Jesse Lewis Jackson. I'm going to let his son bring him on. And then we're going to have after him, we're going to have the brother that leads, and I want the media to hear this, the General Secretary and President of the National Council of Churches, Jim Winkler, will come. Then after that, we're going to have Rahana Epting, the Executive Director of Move On. And then after that, we're going to have the powerful attorney, Barbara Arwine. And then after Barbara Arwine comes, we're going to have the Reverend Jennifer Butler, who leads as the founding Executive Director of Faith in Public Life. And then we're going to have the Reverend Abby Janamaka, Senior Minister of the Unitarian Universalist Church in Bethesda, Maryland. And then we're going to close it out before we march with my dear brother from the Mississippi Boulevard Church from Tennessee. And he's here, Brother Turner. And there's another bishop here giving Braylon. Where is he? Reverend Gilbert is going to come just before Reverend Turner. But give it up for Brother Dr. Brother, our father and the elder, Brother Jackson. Yeah. Reverend Dr.
Thank you, Reverend Barber. My name is Jonathan Jackson, the national spokesman for the Rainbow Push Coalition. Rainbow Push is honored to be here with our brother, our pastor, our friend, the Reverend Barber. Give him a loving round of applause. Yeah. Sometimes you have to get sick and tired of being sick and tired. Yeah. Enough is enough. Forward ever, backwards never. My father, the Reverend Jesse Jackson, says, Jonathan, we have to go to D.C. I said, but Dad, we can watch it on television. He says, no, what they're doing with the Voting Rights Act is going to throw all people back in time, and I'm not going to let it happen on my watch. So then again, I tried to persuade him, Dad, you don't need to do this. Everyone knows your heart is there. And he basically told me, this isn't a Facebook moment.
This isn't a Snapchat moment. This isn't a Triller moment. This isn't a Clubhouse moment. This isn't an Instagram moment. You've got to have marching feet, a made-up mind, a sense of dignity, a sense of purpose. I bring you my father, the Freedom Fighter, long-standing, long-fighting, the Reverend Jesse Jackson.
Put your hands together, put your hands together. I am somebody.
I am somebody.
Respect me.
Respect.
Protect me.
Never
neglect me.
I am
God's child.
Down with dope.
Up with hope.
We come.
Feed the hungry.
We come.
Set the captive free.
Set the captive free.
We the people. Have the power.
We the people have the power.
Red, yellow.
Brown, black, and white.
We're all precious. God said everybody.
Everybody. Somebody.
Let me hear you scream.
Yeah! We love you, Rip.
We love you from Kentucky. I'm delighted to be with you again today. Remember, Freedom Fighters in the 848 campaign. Thank you so much. I want to say to you today that Reverend Bob has been the glue to put our family together. Give Reverend Bob a hand. Thank you, Bob. Yeah.
Thank you, Reverend Jackson.
Thank you, darling.
We love you.
Today's Republican Party is yesterday's Democratic Party. Children, George Wallace. Children, Lester Maddox. In 1948, remember, I prepared a speech about civil rights. And Strom Thurmond, who was a Democrat at that time, walked out to give me the form of the Dixiecrats. Follow me now. 64, all George Wallace and Jim Clark, all of them were Democrats.
That's right.
We got the right to use public accommodations and use the right and the right to vote. They changed parties. So today's Republicans.
Today's Republicans.
Yesterday's.
Yesterday.
Democrats.
Democrats.
Today,
we know.
They shifted democracy, Democrats,
to
fascism.
We the people
are not going to take it.
Vote
or boycott. Use our dimes and our dollars and our votes to change America. Vote or boycott, whatever it takes. Freedom fighters. You're good to be called a freedom fighter who stands for justice. We live under the law.
Law
must be just.
We come not as the resurrection group, but resurrection, not violently, loving, caring, and redemptive.
America's become addicted to slave labor. All the war about maintaining slaves and labor.
That's right.
Addicted to it.
Addicted to it.
246 years we've been in slavery. African American people in slavery. And they taught whites to feel superior.
Uh-huh.
Blacks to be inferior. And codified in the laws about systemic racism.
Systemic racism.
Is a belief.
It's belief.
In the institution.
In the institution.
That in fact denies vulnerabilities. We're addicts. Then when we had a short period of Reconstruction, the same folks when Lincoln was assassinated put in Andrew Johnson. Removed the troops from the South. The segregation masters were more vicious than the slave masters. At least, enslaved masters,
they protected
us as their property,
on their property.
When segregation came, there was another. When segregation came, they in fact made a movement. Jefferson Davis is their leader. Sometimes they refer to Abe Lincoln or the founder of the party. But this is Jefferson Davis Democrats. White House in Montgomery, Alabama. He organized slavery, secession, sedition, race supremacy. We must vote in great numbers. Last day, 1960 candidate won by 130,000 votes. We go in the same. Bush beat more, we go about 600 votes or less. I want every high school student to listen. Every high school student who's 18 that will be 18 by November, you have the right to vote. Every college student has the right to vote. See, what they tried to do is that they the water.
Water. Give me some water.
They tried to do was Lincoln, in his forgiving spirit, they gave men treason. They gave men who had picked up arms against the United States of America, who thought the oath to the government. Those January 6th group, they're the lineage of those who sought the oath to the government in the first place. We won then, we can win now. The Southerners were in fact winning that war. They were up at Antietam, Maryland, and Gettysburg. Lincoln freed enough of us to join the Union Army. 200,000 blacks joined the army, and we changed the course of America. The war was not fought about slavery, it was fought about union.
Union.
So the men, those who were Northerners fighting with us, were in fact standing against us. We didn't do it anyhow. My friends, they don't want blacks to vote.
That's right.
1965, 1968, but women got the right to serve on juries in the South. 1970, Native Americans got the right to vote. Native, you can vote on college campuses. Say, whenever. Our back is against the wall.
Our back is against the wall.
Former union. Between white women, blacks, Latinos, Native Americans, Asians, we the people have the power to protect our democracy. It's like closing. I'm anxious because I'm going to go to jail now. So Today, we must fill up the jails.
Yeah.
We indict us, fill up the jails.
That's right.
Fill up the jails. Let's walk and talk
and
freedom.
And freedom.
Know the Lord is our light and our salvation.
That's right.
Who shall we fear? The Lord is the strength of our lives.
That's right.
Yeah. If you call yourself a child of God, you'll act like it sometimes.
Act like it.
If my people will call by my name.
Yeah.
I'm going to themselves in prayer and seek my faith, turn the wicked ways, say God will hear our prayer.
Yes.
So when wicked racism is wicked, it's wicked.
That's right.
Racism is unscientific.
Yes.
It's immoral.
Immoral.
As soon as God made a mistake, he made somebody other than the white race.
Yeah.
So we the people.
We the people.
In fact. Use our strength.
Use our strength.
Use our character.
Use our character.
Our courage.
Our courage.
Fight back. We're the patriots.
Yeah.
We're the patriots. Dr. King and Civil Rights Movement did this. You look at the New South, where you have the Atlanta Falcons and the Atlanta Hawks. A movement made that possible. They couldn't sat together and played together.
That's right.
The Carolina Panthers, because all Panthers, they made me money for the season on Friday.
That's right.
We the people,
know
full well.
That's
an attempt to dismantle. So there could have been Dallas Cowboys behind the Cotton Curtain. South Carolina would not be number one in entire development. Because we fought back. America's better.
America's better.
We're not bitter. America's better.
We're not bitter.
Through it all.
They made jealous.
Lied to us. So they compromised politics and legislation. But we the people.
Determined.
We're going to make it.
With
or without.
With or without.
It's time for us.
Make our case.
Put our body on the line. Willing to go to jail. Live and die. America might live. God bless you.
Yeah. Give it up. Keep hope. Keep hope alive.
Forward together.
Not one step back.
Forward together.
Not one step back.
Forward together.
Not
one step back.
Not one step back.
That was audio from the Poor People's Campaign Moral March on Manchin and McConnell, held over the weekend in Washington, D.C. And this has been Conscious Voices, heard each week at this time on your community radio stations, WCRS, LP, 92.7 and 98.3 FM, and WGRN, LP, 94.1 FM in Columbus, Ohio. I'm Evan Davis, and I'll see you again next week for another edition. Take care. The program you are listening to is broadcast both on community radio station WCRS via translator W245AY at 98.3 FM and on WGRN 94.1 FM, WCRSFM.org and WGRN.org. If you like what you're hearing or want to get involved, please visit those websites and give what you can. Both stations are non-commercial and volunteer-run. Both stations depend on listener support. Again, the websites are WCRSFM.org for WCRS and WGRN.org for WGRN.
This is Professor Howard Zinn. The independent, non-commercial radio station you're listening to is really important in the maintenance of democracy. Thomas Jefferson once said, an informed democracy will behave in a reasonable manner. So if you care about being informed, if you care about democracy, if you're a reasonable person, you are, of course, please support your source for uncensored news and views and the voice of your community.
I'm Amy Goodman, host of Democracy Now!, your daily grassroots global, unembedded, independent, investigative international news hour. You're listening to Columbus's only community radio station, WCRS 102.1 and 98.3 FM.
Hi, this is Holly Neer. I'm a singer and songwriter, and I've just gotten off the stage at ComFest here in Ohio, 2012. I was here 37 years ago, so it was great to be back. I want to encourage you all to keep listening to Community Radio Station, which you finally have, WCRS 102.1 and 98.3 FM. Listen to social change music and keep your hope alive. Say step down, you're breaking my mother's heart. Shame, shame.